Welcome to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, episode 69.
And it's shut up, you're drunk.
And it's a Tuesday, October 31st, 2017. I am Nard.
Happy Halloweeny. This is Ray.
Yes, welcome everyone. Although you have to correct that part because it's
what?
That thing over there. Anyway, so welcome guys to the show, Gay Geek Bizarre, where we talk about gay stories, geek news, and gay topics. Oh wait, bizarre topics. See,
gay. He's drunk, folks.
I was
two margaritas.
I had two margaritas
and some pizza at a bar, and he's drunk.
Ray made me drink some margaritas.
Lightweight.
I'm quite a lightweight. I'm not kind of a drinker as Ray is. Well, how many did you have?
A gentleman doesn't drink until.
That's right. Anyway, Ray, so before we go on, let's go to our weekend updates. I went to New Orleans for Voodoo Fest, Ray.
See any good bands?
Oh, yeah, I did. So Friday we saw, Prophets of Rage. It's a mix of Public Enemy. You heard this band? Public Enemy, Cypress Hill. And Rage Against the Machine, so they combined to become Prophets of Rage, and they sang a lot of, Rage Against the Machine song, the Insane in the Membrane. They played also Jump Around,
jump around.
So what's also special? They did a special for a tribute to Chris Cornell, because Chris Cornell died
a couple of months ago.
So, Tom Morello was one of the guitarist. You know, they played, you know, the band there played Audio Slave. They were in Audio Slave before, and they had Chris Cornell singing. And they sang Like a Stone, but it was a karaoke version, because they said, if you know the song, if you know the lyrics, sing along. If you don't know the lyrics, just say a prayer. So they just did that, and they played that Audio Slave song. In tribute, as a tribute to Chris Cornell. And then Saturday, we got to watch Foo Fighters. And then Sunday, The Killers. That was fun. Okay, so do you listen to the Foo Fighters? Or some of their songs? Probably you recognize some of their songs.
I recognize some of them.
So that's funny, because they've been around for 20 years. Even longer.
Are you talking Foo Fighters, the group, or the Foo Fighters from Magicians?
The Foo Fighters, the group, with David Grohl. And he's the drummer, used to be the drummer of Nirvana. And then he formed the Foo Fighters. You know, anyway, so.
I'm more familiar with the Foo Fighters than Magicians.
Really? There's a Foo Fighters there?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Get it. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry, guys. We're watching the Houston game.
We're watching the Astros and the Dodgers play.
Yeah, that's right. So,
go Astros.
Go Astros. So, yeah, that's what we did. We watched The Killers, and it was good. And then I flew back here in Houston, and Ray and I went out for steak night, but apparently we didn't have steak.
We'll get no steak for you.
Yeah.
Because it was raining. They got started late, and we had to get back in and record, and I reserved a table, and it was only till 8:30, and we wouldn't even got our food till after 8:30. So. Yeah.
We ordered pizza instead, so yeah. We got his pizza. Anyway, Ray, what did you do? You had a special
Halloween weekend. Party.
That's right.
Well, me and the daddies had a Halloween party.
Yeah, so
with the daddies and I, to be proper English, I do believe, had a Halloween party. And
turned out
really good. We had about 30 people here. Had a good time. We had the TV set up outside on the patio.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, about 9 o'clock we had to bring it in, because it got so damn cold outside. Everybody was freezing, so we brought it in and set it on the dining room table, and everybody watched the game from there the rest of the night.
Oh.
And then when the game ended, everybody pretty much left, so I got to bed early Saturday night.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's
it was good.
What were you wearing? What was your costume?
I was white privilege.
You're white privilege. Nice. You really play that part really well.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. And there was a couple of people that commented that I am very familiar with white privilege. And I said, yeah, most of us are.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I kind of was doing it as a political statement, not because I was being.
Did you take a knee?
So I tried to at the bar, but the table was in the way.
Oh, right. Anyway, okay, so now we will now go to our stories for you guys for this week. And it's a big one. There's lots of things.
Well, we got a bunch of gay this week. There's so much. Usually it's hard to find some gay stuff, but we got more gay shit this week than we know what to do with. So.
That's right. Okay.
The first one I want to talk about, have you ever watched Riverdale, the TV show?
I don't.
It's based on the Archie comic series. It's on
CW. I'm kind of familiar. Okay. And one of the characters there, as far as I know, is
gay.
Is gay. Kevin, yeah, and Kevin. He's got a partner. He's got his own comic book even. I don't remember.
Well, in the TV show, he doesn't have a partner.
He's single.
He was dating Joaquin, who was a serpent, and then the serpent, because of some stuff, had to disappear because he didn't want to get arrested. So, but they talk about Riverdale Bowling sends a teen star cruising for gay hookups in the woods.
Oh, wow.
In the story, why can't you cruise grind them like every other gay guy in the world? Betty, Lily Reinhardt asked Kevin Casey Scott in the latest episode of CW teen drama Riverdale, deeply concerned about her friend's safety. More specifically, she's worried that Kevin's taste for cruising Fox Forest for hookups will have dire consequences. After all, a killer's on the loose. Kevin has pent up a large amount of loneliness, and he's in a lot of every other character's drama up until now. Cot 25 told Bustle about his plot in the episode. He just needs to feel something, and he's trying to find someone in whatever way he can that leads to this really risky, dangerous situation we find him in this episode. So why can't Kevin use Grindr, the show's not-so-subtle reference to Grindr? Well, as he puts it, nobody is who they say they are online. At least in real life, what you see is what you get. So I want to talk about cruising.
Yeah, okay.
Because I think it's very interesting that this is a teen high school drama talking about cruising in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I was younger, the cruising spots around where I grew up was I-20. Going from Augusta to Columbia.
I-20 goes all the way there? I didn't know.
Yeah, okay. I-20, yeah. And there's a bunch of, used to be a bunch of rest stops between the Georgia border to Columbia.
Okay.
And the South Carolina side used to be kind of cruisy. The Welcome Center used to be kind of cruisy.
Really? The Welcome Center? After you go to the restroom and check out the touristy stuff.
Yeah. Literally, I remember when I was like a senior, when I was a freshman in high school, there was a senior. And I was always like kind of attracted to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I never really knew why. And then when I was a senior, I stopped at the rest stop one night because we'd been out partying and I had to use the bathroom and walk by and he was standing outside the bathrooms just hanging out. And at that time, I didn't realize what cruising was. I just had kind of heard rumors about what goes on at rest stops and stuff. So, and he was there just standing there and we kind of made eye contact and I got so chicken shit. I ran in and used the bathroom and then took off.
Mm-hmm.
So
your question,
so it was kind of interesting. So, but my question is, which is safer, hooking up on a grinder, on an app like Grindr, or going out and cruising somebody in the woods?
Both are just considerably not safe. I mean, this is, if you're really gambling about life and things like this, it's just really both. You really can't tell. Well, for one thing, if you're going to be seeing someone at a bar, wait, did you say in the woods?
Yeah, they're in the woods. They're in the woods, really, Fox Woods. Where?
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like going to.
I think it's just the
Memorial
same.
Park here in Houston, because this still happens here in Memorial Park. People get busted all the time for it.
So if it's an online thing or compared to the one in the woods, that is a little scary. However, there's another way of thinking about it, that if you're going to be cruising in a bar wherein there are a lot of witnesses, the bartender remembers people. Yeah. People who see people, the order, a drink, and everything like that. That's, to me, that is, if not considerably safer than meeting people on Grindr, or meeting people on the woods.
True, but at least Grindr, there's a history somewhere that somebody can go investigate.
The problem though with data like that, it's very, very similar to how Google and Amazon or even let's say Facebook does. That if you do it that way, it has to go through some kind of a warrant or like a court summons.
Well, yeah, I mean, if something happens, I would assume that would be pretty easy to get.
Well, yeah, well, That's the point. Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be that easy. If the owner is really...
like if I hooked up with somebody on Grindr and then they beat me up, then I could show the police the record on Grindr. Where...
Then they'll get a court order to tell, hey, Grindr, please, or Growler, please release the information of this person because this was the source.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. As opposed to if you meet someone at a bar and they just have the bartender as the witness. Yeah,
but we're also talking about high school kids here.
Oh, okay.
This is a high school age kid who can't get into a bar. In theory, he's not supposed to be on apps like Grindr, which they are because I've gotten hit that by him underage. So he goes somewhere where he knows that he can probably meet somebody. Because, I mean, he says that he needs to feel something and he's trying to find someone and whatever. And I remember when I was a teenager wanting to have that one connection with somebody, just another gay guy that I could hook up with and be myself and not have to worry about all this other stuff going on. So it was pretty, when I'm watching this episode, it was kind of a flashback to like my teen years. And I was like, oh my God, this is really interesting that there, because 30 years ago, you wouldn't have seen a teenager doing this. 30 years ago, gays were still the bad people in the movie.
Considers it,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were all
the lascivious
people in the movies and stuff. Yeah. They weren't like happy gays or anything like that. So.
Yeah, I remember back then in high school, I was really confused still. I mean, I don't know what I wanted. And I thought being gay is a sin. And then college came in, same thing. And then I only realized myself being gay is okay when I was kind of working and I was realizing myself. But when it comes to cruising and everything, and yeah, it was really scary back then because the only thing that was available back then was like going to theaters. And it's kind of different in the Philippines when it comes to theaters. So,
well, I've seen those. I've seen the movies about the theaters in the Philippines.
Oh, really? You did?
So anyway, what do y'all think? You know, for people that they're like in their almost middle aged, where cruising was more of a thing to do, where now you have the apps for hookup society, and that's pretty much acceptable. Mm-hmm. But the fact that now that teenagers are talking about it on a teenage platform, because the show is geared towards the, I think, 16 to 30-year-old bracket.
Yeah.
On CW. So I might be wrong, but I think that's what I read one time.
And where do these youngsters hang around? Snapchat, Instagram. Yeah. They follow someone.
Yeah, so.
Okay. Let me get a perspective here, though. If you do use Instagram and you usually hang Instagram or Snapchat or whatever, you're following someone. So there is some history of people that you know who's been following you.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's, in a way, if you would think that being trackable is safer than not being tracked at all, I guess they can consider that. Because you can be tracked if you're following someone and knowing what other people are doing. And especially if you're doing Instagram, people take selfies of themselves everywhere and just go. You just said they're teenagers. Yeah. But I don't know how it works in Riverdale, but in the TV show. But, you know, do you see a lot of people in Riverdale that they do selfies, they take selfies and everything?
Well, I mean, they kind of show that some people that are vainer to show that some characters are more vain than the others in the show.
Oh, okay. All right, let's go to
the next one's all yours, Maynard.
Because it's about a hot muscle daddy. Okay, so students shocked to discover their math professor used to be a muscle daddy adult film star. This is from Queerty.com. So, students at La Sapienza University of Rome have been in a tizzy after learning their math professor used to work as a hardcore gay muscle daddy adult film star. Ruggero Freddi's X-rated past came to light after he posted a video of himself flexing his massive muscles to Facebook. Someone recognized him and contacted a reporter. Yeah, the first thing you do is out a person. Good God, yeah. These people. But if the tipster was hoping to spark a scandal, they can keep dreaming. Freddie was completely unfazed by being discovered. He told the Italian publication Repubblica that he isn't ashamed of his porno past. Some students reposted the photo in a few sites and from where my former life was as a porn actor emerged, he explained. To be honest, it wasn't exactly a secret. Yeah, well, I could understand if you're already a porn star or a porn actor. Freddie went on to explain that he initially wanted to work in engineering in Italy, but lack of opportunity forced him to look elsewhere for employment. Then I was offered to do a film in the USA. Of course, he had to go to Cult or somewhere. I thought, why not? A job that helps me earn money and is a more entertaining career, he said. One thing led to another, and he signed a contract with Cult. Yeah, I didn't do it. Cult Studios in California. He became known as Carlo Massi, a gruff bodybuilder with a penchant for hardcore sex. Fred quit porn in 2013 and returned to Italy, where he got a master's degree in math. This is in addition to the master's degree he already had in computer engineering. So he's a total double nerd. He now lives with his partner for 11 years, Gustavo Alejandro Leguizamon, and is pursuing his PhD. Pretty huge dick. He tells GayStar News that since being outed as a former porn star, things had been a little crazy, but in the best way possible. I knew sooner or later something was going to happen, but I didn't expect something so big to happen, he says. I thought someone would publish something and my students would talk about it for a while, but I wasn't expecting the entire country to actually speak about it. He adds that he hasn't had any issues at the university, which is something we need to talk about, Ray. So I'm happy and proud of both my careers, he says. They both reflect part of my personality. I was happy, I was good, I was a good-looking guy, and the world recognized this. I'm very happy the world recognized him, recognized I'm a smart guy. So let's talk about it, Ray, because he's a gay professor who starred in Cult and stopped being a model in 2013 and pursued his career. So this is something that could, in a way, you could say that it haunted, the past haunted him in the present.
Well, the past, your past, people's past are always going to haunt them, regardless if they're born or not.
Exactly.
I mean, we all do stupid shit at some point.
That's right. But my point is, this is in Italy, and they don't fucking care. Here in the U.S., when you did something and somebody, you were a professor or somewhere.
Oh, all the million moms would have a B in their bonnet. Oh, yeah. There would be all kind of protests.
If they find out that you're in porn 20 years ago, let's just say 20 years ago, you were in porn and you became an office, you went to office, or you're a professor. Oh, my God. All hell will break loose. That you are not fit to be a teacher, you're not fit to be someone, to be a model for students, that because you did porn 30 years ago. I don't know. I'm exaggerating. But hey, that's a reality here in the U.S.
But that's a reality for a lot of porn stars, that they get in there and doing it, and then they can't really find a job after it because they're in porn and people don't want to hire them. They don't want that stigma attached to them.
See, that's the... So what's... But what... That doesn't make sense, right? Because it... Them being in porn doesn't really reflect on their work. If they are really excellent, in this case, this guy is a professor. He's a math professor. He has a PhD in math and computer science, and he's helping students and everything. And just
he's a muscle big dick with a brain.
Well, yeah, that's true. I don't know about the big dick yet. I just said he's got a PhD. Yeah, pretty huge dick, but we don't know that yet. Maybe he does. He's Italian, but the point is he is
uncut.
He's uncut. He is, it's his past. And also it depends, I tell you, Ray, it depends also on the country. Here in the U.S., that will not fly.
Yeah.
He's in Italy, he's very liberal.
But if you notice, sadly, a majority of the porn stars here in the U.S. end up just going down a very bad road once they start porn. And when we used to do the porn video stuff, there was always this big discussion about, are you sure you want to do this? Because right now it sounds all fun and exciting and you get your little bit of money for this. But 10 years from now, if this pops up and you're in a public office or you're looking to be a job, or like one of the people we had was a nurse and they called us and were asking, can y'all take my video down? Because I didn't realize that I'd signed a a ethical clause when I signed my contract. And we were like, no, we talked about this issue at the first. I mean, we won't do anything where we present you on the front of the page or anything to promote you, but your videos are still going to be there because we paid for them and we own them. So.
Yeah. Well, some people just don't read even.
Yeah. So
what can we do about that? There's nothing really we can do about that.
Yeah. So, but you know, it's a lot of things to think about, but I'm glad this turned out good for him and I hope it works out good for him because, you know, just because he did something in the past and he's changed his ways or I don't know if there's any ways to change. I mean, he did something and he enjoyed it and now he's doing something else that he enjoys. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but you know, it's sometimes really here in the US it's really backwards when it comes to those kind of issues.
Now let's talk about some bad decisions and earlier in your life.
And this is going to be, there's so many things we can talk about this one. Okay, go ahead, Ray. Oh, am I doing this or you?
I'm doing this. Okay. So. Now let's talk about Kevin Spacey. In an interview with BuzzFeed News, Rapp is publicly alleging, and this is Anthony Rapp, is publicly alleging for the first time that in 1986, Spacey befriended Rapp while they both performed on a Broadway shows. He invited Rapp over to his apartment for a party, and at the end of the night, picked Rapp up, placed him on his bed, and climbed on top of him, making a sexual advance. According to public records, Spacey was 26 and Rapp was 14. Now, in 1987, I did a show with Kevin Spacey that was a premiere show that they did at North Carolina School of the Arts in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, called Lost in Yonkers that Kevin Spacey played in.
Wait, you helped produce it?
I was
one of the production.
I was a stage manager.
Really? So you?
Well, I was. Yeah, I was a stage manager. Yeah.
So I am in what is it? Kevin Bacon, two levels of two degrees of separation from Kevin Spacey because you knew him?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
Now, here's the thing about Kevin Spacey at that time. I think Kevin Spacey was on some serious drugs or something back then, not defending his actions, but he was just weird.
He's just,
it was like he was very standoffish. He wouldn't have anybody, like the rest of the cast would talk to us. Neil Simony would come backstage and talk to us every now and then. But he was always very stand-up. Mercedes Rules was in the show. Mm-hmm. So it was an interesting cast to be learning this and working with this on, and it was pretty cool. So, but the fact that this happened a year before that.
Wow. Such a small world, huh?
Such a small world back then. So it's kind of interesting to read this now. And I understand being fucked up at a party and doing stupid shit. But it was still with a 14-year-old.
That's right. So that's the issue here, that he did not have...
Well, the issue here is that he didn't come up and say, look, you know what? I was fucked up at this party, and I might have done this. I don't remember it, and I sincerely apologize for it. But he did that and said, oh, by the way, I'm gay.
Yeah, he wanted the gay part to wash over.
Which everybody is giving him shit about. Mm-hmm. But it also, in my mind, it's like, oh, pedophilias are all gay, and they're not.
That's what he just hooked it up. He just set back the U.S., Oh, God.
So instead of saying, hey, you know what? This was so long ago, I don't remember it. I'm sorry that, if anything that did happen, I'd like to apologize to Anthony Rapp, and I'd like to talk to him about it, so we can get closure on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then he attempted to wash it with, by the way, I'm gay. And we're going to come out as gay.
But still, it was a 14-year-old kid.
No, you just don't do that. It's inexcusable. Yeah. It's whether you're gay or straight, it happened to Trump, oh sure. And it happened to Harvey Weinstein that he did some sexual advances to other people. Advancement to a 14-year-old, which is inexcusable, whether you're straight or gay, you just don't have a pass.
But it also brings up that whole thing about Corey Haim and Corey Feldman talking about the pedophilia ring and movie executives in Hollywood and how it's been going on for 30 years now and nobody will stop it or say anything to it. I mean, he was on, all these years he's been saying that Corey Haim was seduced by all these big shots in Hollywood and was raped a couple of times, and that they tried to do the same thing to him, and they got passed around between people, that it was kind of a joke that they were passing him around and all this stuff.
Yep.
So, and everybody thought he was just talking bullshit because he turned out to be kind of fucked up and into drugs and just kind of crazy acting. But now it's turned out that maybe the truth is real, that there is some truth to all this.
Yeah.
And with everybody coming forward with all this like harassment stuff that started a couple weeks ago, that's really good, because it's good that this is coming out, that you know, somebody said that this happened to me.
Me
and,
too.
And I know it happens. Yeah. I mean, I understand that it happens. And I understand sometimes people lose their way and they do make mistakes, and they should be able to, you know, apologize for that and say, I'm sorry. And hopefully that bring closure to some of this stuff that's happened. But most of that never happens in a lot.
No, not at all.
So it's very interesting with this, that, you know, that this happens all the time. And, well, this happened. And Anthony Rapp, the interesting thing that he was talking about, if you go read his article that's on Facebook on the Gay Geek Bazaar page, he talks about, I'm trying to remember the name of the show he was in, The Sons or something, that there's a scene where his dad in the show comes in drunk and tries to molest him, thinking he was somebody else because he was drunk. And he said that's kind of how he dealt with it at first. But he said now that over the years, every time he sees Kevin Spacey, he just gets so angry and so upset that it's one of those So to me, it sounds like it's one of those things that something happened and he's not been able to get closure on it.
So I guess he, when that happened to him, he doesn't subscribe to Netflix, I guess, because he always would see him, his face on top of Netflix showing House of Cards.
Well, which has been shut down.
That's a different story right now. We don't have it here.
We're not talking about it here because that's a side thing. And we don't know if it's some of that's related to what Spacey's been doing, or they were getting ready to cancel the show anyhow.
Yeah.
And all this other stuff, because there's been a couple different stories.
The headline that I did see was about it being canceled because of the allegations on him, on what he did. So it is really sad that this happened, but it is not excusable. It's inexcusable that Kevin Spacey would make an advance, you know, did an advance to a minor back then. And you know what? When I was watching Star Trek Discovery, and I saw his name, Anthony Rapp, I kept thinking, I know this guy. I know that name.
Yeah.
It really sounded so Brent. Familiar. And then when I saw his face, oh my God, it's Anthony Rapp. He's Mark from Brent. So. Yeah. I knew it was familiar.
But he started off in like one of his early movies with Mom, Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, and all that other kind of stuff that he did. So, or was it Mom? Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, or crap, I can't remember now. It's one of those babysitter movies.
Yeah.
But anyway, so what do y'all think about that?
Is he excused? I don't think so.
I don't think he's excused, but I think that he needs to work with Anthony Rapp and become some closure, and I think he needs to kind of be public about it.
Yeah.
So maybe, because, you know, he might have been fucked up on drugs at the time. He might not remember what he did.
Yeah, or maybe.
And there's no excuse for that.
Apparently, for one thing, he didn't say anything about being on drugs.
Yeah, well, he says that he doesn't remember that ever happening.
So that's the point, though. Would you rather admit that you're into drugs, or would you rather be in a pedophile?
Well, I think it would look, you know, if it was me, I was like, well, you know, I went through a very bad time in my 20s where I was doing drugs and alcohol, and I made a lot of bad decisions. Mm-hmm. Not excusing it, but, you know, I've changed since then. This is not the same me, you know.
You got to say something like those, but no.
I mean, hopefully it won't be like now 500 other people come out, like with Harvey Weinstein, and the same type of allegations, and they're all the same story pretty much that's been happening with the
ladies. If that happens, then oh my God, he should go to jail at that point.
But I mean, I think it's just what's been going on the last couple of weeks about the sexual harassment is just the tip of the iceberg, what really goes on.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's really, really shallow.
Which is very sad that that's happening. But, you know, hopefully something like this will get things moving and change the way people perceive this, and it gets educated about. So. Mm-hmm.
All right, now
on to the geek, man. Let's go to the geek. All yours.
Okay, NASA's twin study reveals something very, very strange happens to your genes in space. I hope space tourism happens very soon. I hope I'm still strong enough to go to space. So, new preliminary results from NASA's twin study suggests that going to space increases DNA methylation. A process responsible for turning on and off genes. These findings not only provide a glimpse into this cellular process, but also tell scientists how the human body might change once it gets into space. Some of the most exciting things that we've seen from looking at gene expression in space is that we really see an explosion, like fireworks, taking off as soon as the human body gets into space. So as soon as you experience zero gravity, things happen. So TWINS study principal instigator Dr. Chris Mason of Weill Cornell Medicine said in a statement, "With this study, we've seen thousands and thousands of genes changing how they are turned on and off. This happens as soon as the astronaut gets into space, and some of the activity persists temporarily upon return to Earth." Wow, interesting. Still, you're still getting the zero gravity effect. The unique experiment was possible thanks to Mark and Scott Kelly, who are twins and were both NASA astronauts. Scott Kelly spent more than 11 months in space between 2015 and 2016, and given that he had a great sample in his brother Mark, NASA jumped on this groundbreaking research effort. The full study is yet to be published, but some of the findings are already available. In one of these genetic studies, researchers discovered that Scott Kelly's telomeres grew longer than Mark's. I wish he wished something else grew longer. So this was the opposite of what was expected. This study represents one of the most comprehensive views of human biology, Mason added. It really sets the bedrock of understanding molecular risks for space travel, as well as ways to potentially protect and fix those genetic changes. So the study looked at four main aspects of human biology. It investigated physiology and how microgravity affects different organs like the heart and brain. It also looked into charges in perception and reasoning, which means up to the core of behavioral health, and considered the human microbiome and how spaceflight might affect the bacteria living in our guts. Finally, it looked at any changes in genetics between Scott and Mark. The twin study is part of NASA's human research program, which looks into the best technology to ensure that human spaceflight is as safe as possible. Now, this is interesting because you got twins who went to space, and you're able to differentiate what's happening to those bodies, which is, it would be great if you have a twin. One goes to space and one space stays here.
I don't know if it'd be great if I have a twin. It might be too much for the world.
Oh, really? Oh, my God, really? Don't you think that, you have competition? True competition at that point, right? Because this guy really looks like you. But, you know, that's a good test, if you have twins. One good test is also one of the twins is here and one of the twins goes there. And then he lives life there for a long time. And then he comes back here on Earth and really compare their biology.
Well, one thing about being in space and a lot of gravity, aging it slows down. So, so like if I lived on the moon, I might be able to make it to 156.
Really? I don't know about that. Maybe. So you're measuring out of Earth time if you're doing that, right?
So. Okay.
All right. Okay. So interesting.
On to the bazaar. Well, there's a Stranger Things dildo now.
And you've been watching Stranger Things too, right?
Yep. I've been watching.
We've been watching it. I've been watching it too.
Nine.
I'm still in second episode, but go ahead.
Whenever there's a popular new sci-fi movie like Avatar on a television show like Stranger Things that features otherworldly creatures, there's a certain number of people who see the strange beast and think themselves, "I want to have sex with that alien demon thing or whatever it is." This is a perfectly natural response that sex columnist describes as an unrealizable fetish, being turned on by something that simply isn't possible, like me with most of the hot straight Twinkie boys I like. As the term suggests, most unrealizable fetishes like this wanting to have hair sex with a Na'vi are impossible, and the only way people can really engage with them is through imagination-heavy role play. That being said, there are companies that cater to folks with unique sexual taste and make toys designed to help the unrealizable fetishes a little bit more realizable. Dildo manufacturer Bad Dragon is known for a sex toy styled after aliens and monsters. And like any company would keep in with the culture, they're sitting on a Stranger Things bandwagon. To promote their new Demogorgon dildo, the company shot a Stranger Things spoof chronicling a scientist's desperate attempt to track down a monster that escaped from another dimension into ours. If that sounds silly to you, it's because it's ridiculous, but you've got to hand it to a sex toy company willing to take the time to recreate Stranger Things' spooky atmosphere in hopes of possibly convincing you to buy a Demogorgon penis.
That looks hot, though. This is a Demogorgon dick? Oh, my God. It's pretty massive. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I guess it's...
No!
I guess it's something... Oh, we're still watching the game.
The Dodgers just freaking scored.
And they're...
So it's tied 1-1.
Yeah, but it's... And they're in a scoring position and zero outs. So they're going to be ahead of us. Damn it. Anyway, sorry, guys. We're watching, football to do this. So there's a chance that we're going to...
Even something distracted us from Demogorgon penis.
Mm-hmm.
So...
That sucks. That really sucks.
So, and you can go check out Bad Dragon and see the Demogorgon. It pops up right on the main page when you log in.
So. Anyway, so you've been watching Stranger Things. And right now, like I said, I think I told you earlier that we now have Sean Astin, one of my hottest heartthrobs. Oh, my God. Yeah, ever since he came out, during the days of Lord of the Rings, Samwise Gamgee. And I always had the hats for him. And then there's some pictures of him in Speedo and everything. And Ray, yeah. So he's now in Stranger Things. And he is one of the main characters there, as far as I know. And I think something happens to him towards the end. And people already who've binge-watched Stranger Things, there's something to say about him, about being a superhero, which I don't want to go through. I don't want to talk about, really, because it's going to be a spoiler. I haven't finished all the TV shows because they're about... A few more episodes, about 8 episodes. How many episodes are they, Ray? About 8 or 9? The season?
I thought there was 12 this season, but I might be wrong.
Oh yeah. Okay, because I was just counting it, it's about 9. Anyway, so that's it's Sean Astin in Stranger Things, and I'm looking forward to see him go and get naked. Did he get naked?
No.
Damn it. Okay. Anyway, so I hope you guys enjoyed
this. But you get to see the inner him.
The inner him. Okay. I'd like to see the inner him in many things. Okay, so I guess that's the show. So before we close the show, I hope we're actually in the middle of watching the baseball game, the World Series. This is the sixth game, is it? This is the sixth game. No, fifth game. Wait, sixth game. Sixth game, yeah.
Sixth game, yeah.
Yep, yeah. So Houston should win. If they win, then this is it. This is the win the Super Bowl. Okay, so before
this is not the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
Oh my God!
World Series.
You're so gay. Wait, I will tell your husband on you.
I get my sports mixed up. Okay, so special thanks to Caesar for the great articles on Facebook. Thank you, Caesar, for the articles, and that's in facebook.com/gaygeekbizarre. And if you want to contact us, send your emails to show@gaygeekbizarre.com.
Or call and leave us a voice message at 281-947-2327. That's 281-947-2327. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio.
Yes, and go to the official website at gaygeekbizarre.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And we'll catch you guys on the next show. Happy Halloween.
Bye. Go Stros.